Hey, it's Ryan Stevenson, and you're listening to Weathering the Storm.
Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
Today, I'm honored to welcome one of the biggest names in Christian music history. First, as a founding member of the iconic group DC Talk, and now as a lead singer of the Newsboys. But this conversation is not about number one singles and millions of records sold. It's about the storms that inevitably come to all of us in life. Here's my real-life conversation with my good friend, Michael Tate. What's up, everybody? It's Ryan, and we are back with another round of Weathering the Storm episodes. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening, man. I am particularly excited about today. We are kicking off a new round of episodes, testimonies, and I couldn't be more thrilled to release this new batch of stories with the none other than my man, Mr. Michael Tate. And Michael Tate of DC Talk, Michael Tate of the Newsboys.
That is me. I'm that same guy.
And I wore my hat just for you today.
Oh, thank you, buddy. 25 years blessing with everybody.
I always have to say, you know, like when I had Toby in here, it's just so, it's unbelievable to me at this point in my life, being in proximity to guys like you and Toby.
Oh, man, Ryan.
And, you know, I have no problem saying it. I never get tired of saying it. Like, I grew up on you guys.
I would blush, but I'm brown, so you couldn't see it.
I grew up on y'all. I saw my first DC Talk concert in 1992.
That's crazy.
At Jesus Northwest.
And, I remember that.
And that night,
yep.
Man, I got so inspired. And that night, I knew I wanted to be a musician and I wanted to play Christian music because I saw you guys on stage.
That's cool, man.
It's just so awesome to have you here, dude. And I've gotten the chance over the years to be on the road with you in the Newsboys. And, you know, I've come up under Toby Mac and Michael Tate now. So it's nothing short of a miracle. I'm so blessed, so honored, so thankful, so grateful.
Well, Ryan, I'm stoked because you are easy to love. We toured together more than thrice. And we have the best conversations backstage after Jeff Frankenstein workouts.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Man,
yeah.
We cry together. We laugh. We pray. You are my little brother. You're my buddy.
Dude, I love
you,
man.
You're my bud. Yeah.
You are the most just lovable, generous, selfless, serving.
Say more.
Giving. Like, you're just all of those things. And yet, you don't really need to be. You don't have to be. Like, you're... I don't want to gloat and sit here and like do all this, but like you would think somebody like you who could just do whatever you want and have whatever you want. Like, but you're just so down with people. You're so down in the trenches. You're so down to earth and you're just so real and so honest and so transparent. And
three
vulnerable.
Words, Ryan, three words.
Why?
I love people. My dad was a pastor. He raised with my mom, 9 of us, inner city of DC. And my dad, if he could talk to a tree and thought for 1 second that tree would talk back to him, he'd be talking to trees. My dad was that guy, but I got his spirit. And God knows, my gosh, I mean, sometimes people are labeled of love, some people, you know, but we don't get gold stars for loving the people that are easy to love. It's the ones that aren't easy to love sometimes. But for me, people are my oxygen and I love them just because God loves them. And I also realize the things I struggle with and the pains I've had and the emptinesses sometimes and the struggles, people have the same thing. Other people, just because we're on stage, you and I, Ryan and Toby and whoever else out there, you know, didn't, you know, exempt us from all these things. So I kind of try to, even with all the popularity and all the stuff that comes with it, all the trappings a lot of times, I try my best to keep a fresh, acute perspective on another human, on human spirit, because that's my heart, man. When people hurt, I want to hurt with them, I want to laugh with them, I want to celebrate with them, I want to joy with them, you know?
Yeah.
And once again, you make it easy because you're my bud. You're my dog, Ryan.
It's obvious. It's obvious to me that you are all those things. And thank you for doing this today. Thank you for just your time and your willingness to share.
Bet.
We have a lot of listeners out here who are,
hey guys,
just, you know, real people and live very real lives and go through a lot of storms and face a lot of uncertainty and a lot of hardship in your lives. And one thing that has always impressed me about you is you've always been open about, you know what, you don't have it all together. And, you're just a person. And I think that's why people are so endeared to you, is because you do just relate to people on such a real personal level. Mm-hmm. You're from DC,
right?
You
technically Capitol Hill.
Capitol Hill,
DC. Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people obviously know you as, you know, one of the founding members of DC Talk.
Righto.
Being, you know, mega Christian, huge rock band star for years, into the Newsboys, huge star now, and the Newsboys, incredibly successful. I don't have time to go through all of your accolades and all of those things.
Boring.
Underneath all that, you're a man, you're a friend, you're a son. You have lived a real life, and I just kind of wanted to open it up to you, just to, you know, aside from, obviously you can talk about DC Talk, you can talk about the Newsboys, you can talk about music, whatever you want, but I want to hear from you where you're from, what growing up was like. Tell us about your family, because we've talked about it before, and you have a profound story.
Audience doesn't know about that. I grew up on Capitol Hill, guys, about four blocks northeast of the U.S. Capitol building. Back in the day, it was called the Hood, but now it's Capitol Hill because it's all changed and, you know, gentrified, money, blah, 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 whatever. But I'm the baby of nine kids, five girls, four boys, and mom always say they save the best for last, so I believe it. There you have it. And she didn't tell other kids that. She just told me that.
Yeah, right. But moms always do that.
Thanks, mom. And my dad was a pastor and a cab driver.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a cab driver, part-time and a pastor. Started about five inner city churches. And the crazy part about my dad is, if you got in my dad's cab, Ryan, there was a really good chance you were going to be saved.
Wow.
He had no problem sharing the gospel. His life verse was Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And my dad was wise beyond his years, for sure. Mm. He's in heaven now with my mom. I miss them both terribly. But he raised us to love people, you know? And the inner city, like D.C., where a lot of my black friends growing up were being taught that the white man, the white person, it's a true story, don't laugh, the white man was the blue-eyed devil. And they were being taught all this Farrakhan stuff and, you know, black power this, black power that. And it's like, I know the motivation behind a lot of it, but a lot of the philosophy is kind of just never locked in with me as a believer and what my dad taught me. So my dad would live out loud by example. He would bring into my house on purpose Iranians, Hispanic people, lots of Caucasian people, look like you, Ryan, chocolate people, beige people, Asian people, because he said, son, the beauty of the human race is found in the diversity. Mm. And Toby Mac knows that very well, with diversity. And we know it very well in DC Talk, because we called it living integration. It was one chocolate guy with two white boys. But growing up was fun. So I grew up in the city of DC, went to high school in the city for a while. And then it started getting really bad back in the 80s. And my dad said, we got to get you out of here. So they put me in a private school, Riverdale Baptist School, where Toby and I were rivals, basketball team rivals.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he went to Bethlehem Baptist. I went to Riverdale Baptist. And but I never saw Toby on the court because I was in choir and he was playing basketball. But I always say, when Toby gets smart with me, I always say, look what basketball got you and look what music got you.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, or music got both of us for that matter. But I met him in college. I went to rival high schools, met him in college. We became fast friends. But that high school, the high school my dad put me in, he could not afford it because it was a private high school. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, he was pastor's salary, small church, driving a cab. But he begged, borrowed, didn't steal to get me through school, and it changed my life. Mm-hmm. Because after that episode of being in public schools in D.C., just crazy times back in the 80s, and then got into that Christian school, I started to see, I guess one could say, an idea of what God had in store for me in the future.
Yeah.
Didn't know it was going to be music in particular, but I grew up liking music, but I wanted to go into politics. I wanted to be like a governor or a senator or a president. Who knows? I might still be one day. Get a haircut. You know, never happened. It might happen. But really, going to school there and then learning, studying business and studying some English, I didn't have a clue I would do music. Met Toby. He was a sophomore. I was a freshman. And it clicked, and Teacher Doc was born, and we met Kevin Max, and blah, blah, blah. List goes on. But I'm all over the place right now. But growing up for me in D.C. as a kid was exciting. Because we have 9 kids in the family, and your baby. It's like, it's a zoo. And some kids, you know, I had a sister that passed away of HIV.
Your siblings.
My sibling, yeah. My sister, yeah. My sister Sharon. I have a brother, Nate, who has been in jail for almost 37 years.
Goodness.
It's hard to believe these things, you know? I have another sister that, you know, almost killed herself using PCP. So a lot of struggle in the Tate family, but then I have sisters that, you know, sang for the gays. I have sisters that have been nurses and sisters that are, you know, it's a big family. A lot of stuff happened. But I learned that sometimes the apple falls far from the tree and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm.
But nonetheless, God is still in control. My mom and dad prayed for us as kids to walk uprightly and do the right thing. And I believe you may stray. You may stray. But you're going to come back because that's just the way we're wired. That's the way God wired us as believers.
Amen. Amen to that. So after you left, after DC Talk.
Right.
You guys did DC Talk for 13 years?
About 12, 13 years.
Okay. So you're the pinnacle of your success at DC Talk. DC Talk goes into intermission. You guys take a break.
Yes.
Then there was this window of time where Tate Band.
Yes.
You guys kind of did your separate projects.
Yep.
And then it was like, because this was, for me, kind of, I was paying huge attention to DC Talk, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there was like, well, Tate's doing his thing. Toby's doing Momentum. And right, Kevin's doing whatever he's doing.
Kevin Max, yeah.
What was kind of like that? Because I feel like that moment when I was not really paying attention to DC Talk, but I was kind of watching you guys all do your thing, there was like this, not a disconnect, but just this kind of unknown window of like, what are they doing now? Where are they at in life?
Yeah.
What was that time like for you?
Well, technically we took an intermission and which means you're going to come back at some point in time. Well, it's been 21 years. perhaps we will. We actually, you know, we planned on doing something this year, but of course COVID, along with this long list of mishaps, it took that as hostage too. So that didn't happen, but in time, we'll tour together again. But we took a break, and I made a couple of records on EMI for Capitol, and it was Tate Band, had a blast, but just didn't feel like it was the right place at the right time. And after a couple of records, things weren't like, you know, went in jail like I wanted them to jail. So I moved to California for a while.
Yep.
And I worked with Ben Moody from Evanescence, that band, and the writers, and wrote some stuff. I was working on a record, Ryan, called Loveology. I made that title up because I'm such a lover of people and life.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
You know, and so I wrote a bunch of songs. But here's the truth. In the midst of all of that, I got caught up in the L.A. machine. And
explain that to me.
Well, parties, a few extracurriculars. Use your imagination. Don't go too far. Lost vision. Mm. Lost the plot, as a Newsboy song says. I lost the plot. And I was miserable. I mean, I was miserable. No joy, no peace. You know, I had a bunch of money from DC Talk days, but I was like, God, what am I doing out here?
Did you sense the voice of the Lord? Like when you feel like you were lost in those moments, did you still feel like, man,
well,
I feel you talking to me, Lord, even though I'm in this?
I did, but I ignored it for the most part. And at the same time, I heard the voice of the Lord. And I heard the voice of my mom and dad saying, son, what are you doing? All this we put into you, this, we, you know, instill this message into you and this lifestyle, you know, and not that I'm a robot, but like those things should mean something when you face that kind of adversity.
Of course.
But, When you're in the forest, you can't see the trees, you know? And I was just in that spot. But the good news is our God is faithful. Our God is forgiving. Our God is restores. And Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6, if you acknowledge him and everything you do in your ways, he will direct our path. The question is, do we want to walk the path? And at that time, I wasn't trying to walk the path. I was trying to take care of Michael Tate. I was trying to be, I was selfish, ambitioned, if that's even a phrase.
Sure.
And a lot of it backfired on me. And God was so faithful. He's still so faithful. And to those listening right now, just know, man, you can be in the thicket of the thickest thicket. God ain't going nowhere. Mm. If someone moved at you, it ain't God. Because he's faithful. He's promised to be. But I acknowledged him in those ways. And he directed my path and got me out of that. I joined Newsboys shortly after that. But that
was there, Mike, was there like a turning point where you just felt like, man, I'm hitting a wall. I'm at the end. I'm in deep. I just have no direction, no vision. Was there a thing that was like,
well, there was a series of things. Well, I mean, and God did it so gently. You know, he should have slapped me a few times more, you know, but he did it so gently. He loved me all the way through it. But I remember going back home from LA, the early fall of 2008, just defeated, tail between my legs, didn't know what I wanted to do, kind of out of money, you know, had properties I couldn't sell because the market was going down. It was kind of like now. And I was just like, God, what am I going to do, Lord? And there wasn't this, like, I didn't wake up one night in the middle of the night with a hot sweat or with a panic sweat, like, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. But slowly but surely, God brought people back into my life, just little pillars. A guy named Juan Otero, he used to dance with DC Talk, came back into my life. And he said, Tate, something's missing, dude. Something's a little funky, bro. What's going on? And we cried and we prayed. I told him a bunch of stuff, you know, where I was in life. And just really feeling like I had all this coming up. And now you're going to, is this it, God? Is this how the story ends? And then I got a call from a guy named Wesley Campbell saying, hey, Peter Furlow's taking a break. It's 2008 fall, late fall. Taking a break from the Newsboys. Are you interested in maybe doing a few shows, you know, and just sit in and step in for him for a while? Little did I know that Peter was leaving completely and they wanted a new lead singer. but it came on slow. It came on slowly because had I known the bigger picture, I'd have been like, heck no, not today. But because I wasn't there, Ryan. I wasn't there spiritually. I wasn't there physically, mentally. I just wasn't there. And God slowly, lovingly, and strongly prodded me along. And once again, you ride a bike, you don't forget how to ride a bike, you know?
Sure.
You might put it in the garage, might grab some rust on it, but you're gonna remember that. So I mean, the faith, you know, the gospel, loving people, the message of the gospel has always been locked in my heart, you know? It's in my heart, Ryan, and it's in my thoughts, and it's a part of my life.
Yeah.
So when this opportunity came up, it was like God saying, hey, I love you, son. Here's something here. Look at this. Pray about it. But here's something else for you to steward. Show what you can do. And God just blessed it. And do I have it all together? No. Neither do you. None of us do. But I know one thing, man. My Jesus, my God's not dead. He is so faithful, Ryan. I could tell you story after story where God's come in. And sometimes, once again, when you're in the thicket, you can't see God working. You're thinking, well, what's going on? But you look back and you say, thank you, Jesus Christ. Because you did that.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm going to say thank you a lot more now because Daddy wants to hear me say thank you and stuff instead of just saying, you know, you didn't do this or I don't have this or this ain't going right or I don't like this or that. No, thank you, Jesus, for saving me and saving my life more than once.
Yeah. It's, you know, as you're talking, it reminds me of what any good father does. Any daddy.
Yeah.
You know, like I have two sons. I don't care what my sons do. You know, of course, like when they wander and they do things that make them dirty or unhealthy for them, decisions.
Yeah.
It doesn't change who they are. Mm-hmm. They're still my boys.
That's right.
And as you're talking, it's like the Lord is just saying over and over, like, this, you see, I am a good father. It is, it's never been, and that's what I wanted to hammer down on this point right here. And thank you for just going there. It's never about our performance. And I'm not saying that sin is not harmful to us or wandering is not harmful and it's not, it's not beneficial, but God is so good and so gracious, even when we fall, wander, make bad decisions, get, you know, lost and confused and hopeless, or whatever our addictions are, whatever we find ourselves,
whatever
tied
it
up
is,
in,
man, and there's lots.
He's just not shocked or fazed by our humanness because he was human and he's a good father.
And what's crazy about this, like when you're, it's funny because Satan's a liar, man. Yeah. The devil is a liar.
Oh my gosh.
Like literally when I was in this thick of the stuff, man, and I was experimenting with this drug and that drug. I tried some different things, you know? And even in the midst sometimes of my circumstance, I would hear God.
Mm.
But I pushed it away because I was like, no, not now, God. You don't want to be here while I'm doing this.
Yeah, sure.
Go away, Jesus. See you later, Holy Spirit, you know? But he's with us. Mm-hmm. And he was with me in those times, probably crying.
Yeah.
Probably sad, brokenhearted, thinking, man, what are you doing, Tate? What are you doing?
Mm.
But I think sometimes, Ryan, it's hard. It was hard for me to forgive myself. Because like Satan would bring this guilt on you. It's condemnation. You think like, oh man, what if? We wrote a song years ago called What If I Stumble for the DC Dark record. What if I stumble? And now I say, we often say, what when I stumble? Because it's not a matter of if, you are going to stumble. It's what you do after that happens. Because, you know, being a Baptist boy, and I beat up the Baptist, but and Toby knows this too, but being a Baptist boy, you know, a lot of it's about performance and being goody two shoes, and you get a gold star if you do the right thing. And if you don't, you don't get a gold star. Well, it turns out God loves you regardless, and nothing can separate his love from us. Amen. Period. End of conversation.
Amen.
Easier said than, you know, digested sometimes, especially when you're in the thick of the things. But he proved himself faithful over and over again. And then I say often too, it's like, we can say what we want, dude. But I think a lot of times one of our biggest things we have as Christian brothers and sisters is that when people stumble and fall, we don't restore them quick enough not about speed, but we don't really go there, right? You know, and say, hey, man, now this happened. Obviously, if you're running something big, some pastor, whatever, and this happens with another person, you might have to step down or step away for a while, but let's not beat the guy up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not, I mean, the guy's, you got enough on him already, you know?
Sure.
His penance is his sin. Mm-hmm. You know, and the living with it and the guilt and all that. But a lot of brothers and sisters love on me, man. And that love, you said I'm such a loving person, but I had never been loved like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. So that made my love on people more so, Ryan, more incredible and crazy, because I realized that, man, this is what love is.
Yeah.
This is what love is. It is. That's what it is. It's in those moments where that's where it counts. When the rubber meets the road, where are you? Where were you when I was there? Here.
Yeah.
What's up?
Gosh. That's beautiful.
It's truth.
Dude. Looking back on your journey, looking back on your life. And I like to ask this kind of as we wrap up with everybody, but I know you've touched on a lot of things today, and there's so many important themes in what you're saying, and thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah.
As you look back on your life and you reflect on just, man, the moment I was born to where I sit today.
Yes.
Is there a central theme, or is there something that you can put your finger on and say, irrevocably, unequivocally, this is what the Lord has shown me about who he is in my life? This is, because, you know, we're talking about weathering the storms of life. Is there something that you can say without a doubt, this is how God has shown, this is how he's shown himself faithful to me in my storms?
This sounds kind of like simple, but, and it is, but it's the truth. Back again to you say, calling me a lover. I do love people a lot, and I love on people a lot, but I have a hard time being loved.
Mm.
I'm afraid to be loved sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, because if I love you, I'm in control. I go, oh, you're my man, right? And I'll love you well. You know Michael Tate. I will love you well. But if I allow myself to be vulnerable and let your love in.
Sure.
One of my biggest faults and fears and crazinesses is that I'm like, hold on. you know, I'll let you close, but don't let me touch, because then all of a sudden I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
I have to allow, you know, you can hurt me, whatever. But God has taught me to just relax, Tate. And I love you not because you're a singer, not because you're brown, not because you know, I love that you love other people, but I love you just because.
Yeah.
And I've had to accept that, because a lot of times we don't like what we are inside, stuff inside of you. And God says, hey, I love you. And that's going to change that. I can't. I've had to drill that into my freaking hard head, because also, people often say, Tate, what would you tell your 21-year-old self if you could tell your 21-year-old self something? And I say, choices have consequences. Hmm. So choose wisely.
Yeah.
And that little phrase packs a punch. But my point is, I've made some choices and I've been forgiven them, and life goes on. But to answer your question in a roundabout way, the love of God has never been more real. And it's never more real than when you need it.
Yeah.
When you go, God, please come
and
help me. Confess my sin, you know. And God's there for you, dude. That's what I've got. I've learned that. It's truly that God does love us beyond. Mm. And it's more than singing, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, as a kid, you know that song. But man, it's true. My God loves me. When I can rest in that peace, it changes the trajectory of my life daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I start thinking, well, Tate, relax, breathe. You are loved. Nothing you can do to change it, make it better or worse, loved.
Yeah.
I called my auntie one day, my Aunt Annie, my dad's sister. And she goes, basically, she talks really fast, kind of like me. She says, baby, how you doing, honey? How you doing with God? I said, Aunt Annie, God's been so good to me. He's been so good. I love him so much. She goes, that's good, baby. But the question is, have you been good to God? I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? She goes, baby, have you been good to God? And that's the question, like, you know, God does his loves us. And we're saying, God, give me more of God. Please pray for God. Genie in the sky. No. Have you been good to God?
Mm.
Are you trying to walk in obedience? As Michael Guido says, long obedience.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. Are you trying to love extravagantly? Mm. Are you trying to gossip less? Are you trying to be... Michael Tate, are you trying to live a disciplined life, denying yourself, dying to yourself? That kind of stuff is real.
Yeah.
And it came with a cost for me. And I'm rambling on. My point is, yes, God's love is explosive and amazing. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, buddy. What a pleasure. Gosh, we could talk forever. I could literally sit here and talk to you the rest of the day, but.
I love you, Ryan Stevenson.
Buddy. I love you too. Thank you for being here. Thank you for DC Talk.
Yes. What was your favorite DC Talk song? Your favorite song?
Oh, geez. Honestly,
you can name two.
I mean, just between you and me.
Sorrow is a lonely feeling. Oh. And settled is a painful place.
I was just singing that this morning.
Just between you and me, I got something to say. Wanna get it straight before the sun goes down.
I love you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Love you, bud.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Thanks for spending time with me today. Please subscribe to the show so you never miss a future episode. To go deeper on today's conversation, click on the show notes below. And if you want to stay connected with me, be sure to visit RyanStevensonMusic.com.
Your love surrounds me.